have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Yeah, I'm from the streets. South of the arch, man. Where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh. St. Louis fitted, God Squad t-shirt. Homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed. Covered in the blood, no shower, cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatline. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood. Got that street slang, mixed with the spirit, it's a G thing.
Peep how I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag,
okay. Yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
God Squad,
this my Christ
bruh.
Swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
Cartier.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like white on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me. Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home. No more Patron or Nitrous. I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest. Glory in here. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear. No, I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my father, tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother. Cause Jesus is my medicine. I ain't never hurting. Catching waves of his glory. Man, I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk. Check the way I walk. Been set free. Cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect. God just forgave me. Got a new swag. Praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag.
Yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah,
uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah, this my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah,
uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
God Squad.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Okay, I get it from my father.
Uh-huh.
Head to toe swinging on that word, that's the motto.
Yeah.
Used to be a up or down flipper like the Lido.
Uh-huh.
Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now
God,
I'm aiming at the world with that blessed scope.
Yeah.
Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know. When you see that light shine, this ain't baby though. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show. No, but I'm close with my father though.
Nah.
I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of laying out to kill his ego.
Uh-huh.
Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws.
Uh-huh.
If you rapping vain, can't edify the people.
Uh-huh.
Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow.
Pew!
And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the
cost.
No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Yeah, my Christ swag, my Christ swag. Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome back to Elation Radio. This is Minister Cedric with Religious Pursuit. Today is Friday, February the 4th, and I'm happy to be back. Tonight I had a question. I was actually doing a little bit of reading earlier, and I just was thinking, you know, life is grand. You know, we got so many wonderful things to be thankful for today. And I think sometimes we take it for granted the things that God has given us and the grace that he shows us. And again, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm talking about me. So if you included in it, great. But I'm not pointing anybody personally out. I'm talking about me and my walk. And so I read the scripture today. 1 Corinthians 9:25. This is the NIV version. And it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And you know, I couldn't have found a more fitting scripture to go along with me and my thoughts today. Yeah, I know the Winter Olympics just started, and I was kind of tuning into some of that. But I just was thinking about that scripture, and it kind of, you know, it kind of stayed with me. It resonated with me. And that's something for us to talk about. I wanted to go ahead and bring in my co-host, my guest co-host, which is Jason. Jason, you on with me right now? Wait a few seconds for him. I didn't hear anything. But I was thinking about that scripture, and one of the things that came to mind was this. I thought, how many times or how many of us take seriously the Great Commission? How many of us take seriously going out and being the only Christ that some people see? How many of us take seriously introducing people to Christ? You know, how many of us take seriously going out and just doing some evangelism? You know, and so when I read this scripture, I thought to myself, wow, that means something. That means something well. And so it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But I don't want to get too deep in it. Jason, you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, man. How you doing?
I'm good. A little frozen here in Texas, but other than that, we're all right.
Ah, well, see, that's a good thing. We froze up here in Kentucky, too. Yes, indeed. They said the wind is supposed to get up to like 5 miles an hour tonight. That don't sound like much, but when the temp's well under 30, yeah, that's a lot. That's cold. But hey, I'm getting caught up real quick. As I was talking about 1 Corinthians 9:25, where it says everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so I started out with a question, man. My question was simply, how many of us mission for us the Great Commission that seriously? Well, we go into training, and I was thinking about the Olympics. These athletes train for 4 years to get on the world's largest stage. And compete for just a couple of minutes in their event, or maybe they're running a marathon just a few hours. But most of these athletes are only competing for what amounts to a matter of seconds, but they train for years. And that scripture just stuck with me. And so, how many of us take our mission as Christians as seriously as these athletes? And then let's talk about what these athletes are competing for. They're competing for something that's finite. They're competing against something that's temporary. And we, as Christians, need to realize that we're competing for something that lasts forever, right? And so I just wonder, now, how many of us take this seriously? I mean, how do you see it?
So I would tell you, when you talk about the Great Commission and you know, what Christ called for us right before he left, you know, mm-hmm. and you look at what he asked us to do and what we're currently doing, we're kind of falling short. Because if you remember what he said, go out and make disciples. You know, if you look at what he modeled going to the people, traveling. And I think where we are, and especially in today's church, most people think, hey, let me bring you to my church. Let me invite you to my church. And don't get me wrong, I think that's a very viable part. But I think the reality mm-hmm. of it is, you know, we're supposed to go out. And you know, and something hit me one time. I heard a pastor was talking, and you know, he was preaching on the Great Commission and what our job is. He say, like, you know, how many opportunities do we miss? And of course, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I don't miss any. You know, anytime I see a homeless man, I try to speak to him. Anytime I see, you know, somebody that may be strung out or recovering for something, I talk to him. And he's like, well, what about that checker that checks you out in the grocery store? I'm like, what do you mean?
Uh-huh.
And it just hit me. He's like, you know, you never know what they're going through. You never know what you know God has for you. And when I start thinking about it, and I know I serve an intentional God that puts me in the spaces that he wants me to be in, you know, when I have that desire to go to that grocery store and I do get in this line, why not say, hey, how you doing today? And it just resonated with me that there is so much more I could be doing to minister to people. And we're not talking about like, hey, preaching the word or giving them scripture, just a hi and a hello to minister to their spirit and a sincere, how's your day? Right. You know, so we talk about the Great Commission and what we're doing. I think we fall short, especially on the going out piece. Right. And especially on the meeting people where they're at, you know, there's a lot of opportunities there as a Christian body. That we're missing.
So we ain't competing for no gold medals. We ain't out here competing for no gold medals and the Great Commission, are we? But do you think that has something to do with it? That a lot of times you get told no before you get told yes, or you meet people who basically patronize what you say they are. Oh, that's great. I love God. I know Jesus, and they really don't mean it. Have you ever run into that? Does that discourage you?
Oh, no, it doesn't. Because I think when you talk about, you know, how we're supposed to serve it out, I think, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm going to go back to this mantra. I say, I'm just a tool for God to use, right? You know, I have no heaven and hell to put somebody in, right? My job is to just to be the hands and feet of God here on earth. And let God make that up and let God do his part, right? So even if I'm talking to someone and I'm telling them about the gospel and they're patronizing me and they say it, and, you know, I look at like I did my part, right? You know, I spoke to them about the gospel. I gave them the word that God put on my heart to give them. And I'm just going to walk away and let God take care of the rest because you never know, right? You never know what might happen 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. That little nugget might pop in their heart at that right time. And if I didn't do it, right, or if I get so frustrated, I'm like, man, I ain't doing this anymore. How many opportunities do I really miss doing that, right? So for me, one of the things I do to avoid the frustration, I don't look at the outcome, you know. I look at what my job is. My job is to be a tool. And as long as I'm doing my job, I'm going to have joy with that.
Mm. I, you know, and that's the thing, because I personally question myself, because sometimes I think I'm not doing all that I can do. I don't know if anybody else ever felt like that, but sometimes I feel like I'm giving what I got, but I'm not giving all. I'm not putting my all into what I got. It's like I'm I'm haphazardly doing something, and that, you know, that for me, that kind of scares me a little bit, because I think sometimes we just get caught up, and we try to do it instead of allowing God to do it. You know, like these athletes are training for the Olympics. They have to physically put themselves into the game. They have to rely on their training. In other words, they have to run, jump, ski, swim to the best of their physical abilities, and they have to concentrate on it. They have to focus on it. But look at this. I think some of the greatest athletes I've ever seen are the ones who train their bodies physically. It is, but they also train themselves mentally. They realize that I'm not doing this on my own. They realize that I could not do this without God. It is God who gifted me with these gifts, and it's God who directed me throughout my life to become very skilled. It is God who is propelling me to these great heights, and not me myself. And it's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing. But I tell you, when I read that scripture I laughed at myself. But here's the real deal. Here's the real deal. The real deal is this, is that I'm always willing to give. I'm always willing to give, and I think that as long as we put our hearts in it and we let God have His way, nothing but good can come of it. I mean, it's strange I'm gonna say this right here. It's strange how when I was growing up, my mom, whenever people would do something bad or say something wrong, she would always say, "Well, God will provide, or God will deal with it. You don't have to do nothing. God will deal with it." And the fact is, I used to get upset. I used to get really upset because I'm like, why do I always have to wait for God? And sometimes when I was young, I would ask my mom, and her answer was a very, very simple answer. Her answer would be something to the effect, look, you yourself can't do everything. You can't do anything that God can do. You know, and the things that you can do, you can only do those because God has gifted you to be able to do it. And so, I was like, all right, that's right. That makes sense, Mama. But then when I think about this scripture, though, it says that they do it to get a crown that will not last. And it says that everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Jason, what kind of training do you go through to get ready to talk to somebody about God?
You know, I think when you talk about training to serve at that Great Commission, it's, for me, it really revolves around the relationship. Who am I doing this for, right? And I want to go back to what you said about, you know, what your mom told you, you know, let God take care of it. And I think a lot of times the struggle is we want to take care of things, right? And I think, you know, like those athletes who train so hard, you know, it's hard for them not to take things into their own hands because that's what they train for. And as we go to do our training, you know, reading scripture, praying, really coming to know God and who He is in our life and what He has for us, it becomes, I feel like it becomes even harder to sit back and let God do His part, right? When I don't know any scriptures, I can't quote any scriptures to you, so I just got to talk to you about what I do know. But then once I started learning all these scriptures and the different languages and the different translations and the history and all this other stuff, a lot of times I want to talk to you about that stuff. And I'm telling you, a lot of times you're more effective as an early Christian. We don't know anything than that Christian who knows all the scriptures and had their study Bible and you know, study theology and those types of things. And, you know, and I think it's part of the challenge we have, right? The more we know, the more we learn as human beings, the more confidence we have in the things that we know, and the more we want to use our own power to step out. And this training for the Great Commission is really counterintuitive. Train to the pen.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to train so that you don't have to do anything. Take all this work it out so much, do all this training so that when the time comes to compete, you can count on somebody else to do all the work for you. And you're like, what? That makes no sense, right? It's counterintuitive to everything that we know, you know, in our culture and what we're taught. But that's really how it works, you know. For us, I think the training becomes, how do I really find God in this situation? How do I really live like Christ and do what Christ would do in this situation, you know? And so, so for me, when we talk about training, it is, you know, it's really not much about reading the Bible and studying the Word like that. It's really getting to know the living Word, you know, Christ, you know, as He is, so that when I'm in a situation, I don't have to think, what would Jesus do? I've already trained myself to do that, you know, and not operate on my own power. Because I love that, you know, you may know back in the day when they had that, what would Jesus do? The answer is really simple, wherever God tells them to. And that's the answer for me. But if I don't have that relationship with God where I can hear Him talk to me and give me that guidance and give me that direction and say, hey, Jason, this is what I need you to say. This is what I need you to not say, you know, then I'm not really equipped to deal with the situations that I come into.
Yeah, it's funny you get to that point because listen to what verse, and I'm reading NIV. It says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. You know, and when I think about what you just said and I put it into this context, you're 100% right. And you know what? We all have a goal. We all have a destination, right? Right. We have orders to carry out. So we don't even have to guess what we're supposed to do. Am I right? Am I wrong in assuming that? That we don't have to guess what we are supposed to do. We can just do it. Right? We follow, we say, we follow what Christ said. And again, I think I shared with you before, I had a friend who used to always say, well, do what Jesus did, go where Jesus went. Okay. But that's what I'm talking about. How are we approaching it? You know, you mentioned it's not so much about reading the Bible, but my question to you then is, how do we know to do what God has for us to do if we don't study the Word, the physical Bible, the book, the Word, the living Word? How do we get from point A to point B? Or shall I say, how do you do that?
So for me, you know, I think Bible study is an important part to kind of reflect on who God is, how He's shown Himself through time. You know, I think more importantly, though, is the relationship, right? I don't know if I told you this, but I tell my kids the same thing. You know, they just ask me, how do I know when I'm hearing God's voice? And I'm saying it's about the relationship. It's about coming in close contact and proximity and knowing that person so that when the time comes, not only do you stay close to him, but you can hear his voice in that direction, you know, and you can hear what he's telling you to do, right? So, you know, for me, it's really about reinforcing that relationship that I already have and getting to the point where I can hear him in every situation. Right, I can hear his voice in every situation, because the reality is God's always there for you. Question is, are you listening?
I think that's beautiful, because my thing is, I like to. Now again, I don't know everything, but I like to think that I do listen. I like to think I don't just listen one time. I like to think that I consciously think about it. And I say, Lord, okay, what else can I do? What else would you like for me to do? So I like to think that I'm at least on that point. But my thing is, when I look at verse 26, and he says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Look, I got somewhere to go. And here it is, and tell me if I'm wrong. Sometimes, some of us, we got somewhere to go. We know we want to follow Christ. We know we want to do what God told us to do. God told us to, right, like we wake up in the morning and we're on our way to church. I got to go to church. And we don't take the time out to do what you just said earlier, Jason. We don't take the time out to speak to that homeless person. We don't take the time out to say hello to that clerk in the grocery store. No, because we are so focused on where we think God wants us to go, we're not really building that relationship to know that every creature, you know, we have to open ourselves up to be used by the Holy Spirit. Every creature needs God. And some people know God, but they need to be reassured. And that's where I want to be. I want to be intentional about what God tells me to do. Man, it's funny. It's funny. And the analogy here that using a boxer, shadow boxing. When you shadow box, what are you doing? You're practicing. You're practicing your technique. You're learning how to throw jabs. You're learning how to throw a punch without hyperextending your elbow. Right, right. You're learning. You imagine somebody's in front of you, and you're imagining that they're hitting you, and you learn how to counter. You're using all of your senses, everything you've learned. But yet you're shadow boxing. There's nobody there. But there's a reason that we all have to shadow box. There's a reason for this practice. And you may not remember 10 scriptures. Heck, shoot, some of us don't remember 2 scriptures, and that's okay. If you only know 1 scripture, that's fine. God can use that. If you only know part of a scripture, God can use that if you're moving the way he tells you to move. And Jason, I believe that the one way we know that we're moving the way God has for us to move is, like you said, it's through relationship. It's through relationship. Like, how would you tell somebody or instruct somebody or encourage somebody who wants to know God better?
I would tell them, you know, definitely start by reading the Word of God and read it from not a historical myth, but say that's the same God that exists today. But then, you know, what really helped me was to find God in every situation, right? You know, we say it all the time. You know, God is omnipresent. He's in every situation. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's throughout history. We say these things, but do we actually practice them in our daily life? You know, when I'm driving to work, am I looking for God in that situation? When I'm in a grocery store, looking for that special spice that's gonna make my dish the greatest. So, am I looking for God in that situation? And I think as we really start to look for God in the situation and start recognizing Him moving in our life, that's the biggest way to start growing the relationship. And, you know, and you and I were talking about this when we talked about training. You know, it's interesting how a lot of times we communicate to God in the extremes. When things are really bad, we're on our knees praying, oh, God, get me out of this situation. Oh, God, if you can just yeah, deliver me, I'll be eternally grateful. But then on the opposite end, let me get that new job. Let me get this blessing that, yeah, I ain't gotten to know. Oh, God, I praise you. I thank you for giving me this blessing. But what about just the everyday, yeah, right? What about just, hey, I got up today and I walked into work and I had 3 projects to do. Are we praising God in our everyday, right? Are we praising God just because he's God and because of the situation I have? So when we talk about starting the training, that's part of it. It's just recognizing God in every situation and giving him that same praise you normally would, you know, that praise that you give him in the extremes. And I think if I had to say it right now, worship God outside the extremes. That's how I would tell people to get started. Work with God outside the extreme.
Yeah, I ain't funny how you can catch a winning touchdown in a Super Bowl and say thank you God, all praises to God, and then 3 hours later you out kicking it in the club, get drunk, dancing around, got all this other stuff going on. I struggle, man. I'm just telling you the truth. I struggle. But I think the need is we definitely need self-discipline when it comes to getting ready. Because when you get to verse 27, he says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And that's the thing right there. Just like what you said, everything you said kind of just, to me, it adds up to this because, you know, what good does it do? You know, we're running. If you go back to verse 24, it says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Look, we all need to be putting our best foot forward. It's funny because when it's something you really want, Jason, tell me the truth. If it's something you really want, you don't go in there halfway, do you? You go all in. It's all in.
You study, you get ready for it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You go through all kinds of preparation.
And because you've got a goal. How many of us truly take on Christianity that way? I'm going to give you for instance, Jason. Why is it when you meet somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness? Have you ever talked to a Jehovah's Witness?
Mm-mm.
You ain't ever talked to somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness?
I have not had a sit down and had a long conversation with them, no.
Man, I'm going to tell you this. When they come talk to you, man, they know their doctrine inside and out. Inside and out. Have you ever, man, your answer is going to be no. But if you ever tell somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness, you ever tell them that you believe in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? You know what they're going to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
You show me where it says that in the Bible. You show me where it mentions the Holy Trinity in the Bible. And then you just go and say, well, I don't know about you, but I remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Now it clearly says that the heavens opened up. God spoke and a dove descended upon the earth. You see what I'm saying? But they don't say that that has nothing to do with the Holy Trinity. They don't see it that way. And I do it kind of I do it jokingly, but at the same time, I want them to understand that, hey, I understand what you're talking about, but this is what I'm talking about. I get it. You can't say, you know, the Bible doesn't say Holy Trinity. Our translations don't say it, but it does make a reference to all three. And
right.
in that passage. So we got to go all in. We got to give it up. You know what I'm saying? Let's not be haphazardly talking about the Word of God. I mean, let's not do it halfway. We got to get in. Condition. I mean, they talk about conditioning my body. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. So after I have preached to others, look. I am the master of this body. This body doesn't do what it wants to do, right? I'm in charge here. You know, in other words, we got to get some self-discipline. We need to be very disciplined, right? You know, Jason, you play college football. Now, give me a little bit of what it's like being a freshman on a college football team, not knowing if you're going to start, you might lose your scholarship. When it comes to self-discipline, how did that work for you?
Well, I mean, you play that in various ways, right? First, you know, and most importantly, it's off the field, right? Because when you're at practice, you ain't gonna be able to mess up. Cause you got too many coaches looking, you got too many people watching. You gonna do the right thing. That self discipline really comes in those quiet times when those coaches aren't around, right? When I'm sitting in my room at night, and one of my friends come by and is like, "Hey man, we're going out." You know I got a 5 o'clock practice time tomorrow morning, and I'm like, "What am I gonna do?" Right? Can I go out? I don't have to drink. I can still go out, but then I'm going to be tired. So that practice time is not going to be as effective, right? I'm not going to get the most out of that practice time, you know? It's being able to turn down those things in the now for things that are greater and for better. And sometimes it's not even in that moment, right? Because a lot of people, and, you know, I wasn't this guy, right? Like, oh, it's okay. I won't go out on game night, right? Because I want to make sure that I'm ready to play the game. But they go out every week during practice. I'm like, well, the game is a function of how you practice. And if you're not 100% at your practice time, what makes you think you're going to be even good at game time, right? So when you talk about self-discipline, yeah. it's that type of stuff, right? It's being able to say, you know what, I'm going to forego this thing right now, or I'm going to do something right now, even though I may not 100% feel like it. You know, and when it comes to this Christian walk, it's, you know, I might sting a little people. It's going to corporate worship every Sunday, right? You know, and I know with this new COVID thing, people have gotten used to, worshiping at the house. But if you feel good, if you feel up to it, you know, get back into corporate worship and make it a priority, right? Make it like I'm going to get up and go to church anytime I can. Right. You know, and making sure you prepare yourself that way. But, you know, that self-discipline comes into play because, you know, sometimes you got to make decisions. And I like how the scripture talks about, I'm going to tell my body what to do, because your body, your flesh is going to tell you something different. You know, and it's really up to you to say, no, I'm in charge. I'm in command. And this is what we're going to do, you know, and bring those thoughts and that body in submission.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And you know what? Bringing your body into submission is not an easy thing, is it? It can be a very difficult task. And that's why we have to start young and practice. That's my belief. Practice. If you practice it, you'll develop that. And once you get to a certain point, you may not have to practice as much, but we ought to always be practicing. And there's so many things when it comes to serving God, just so many things that we should be practicing. And what I mean by that is, see, you just can't practice saying scripture. No. Now you got to practice on walking it out. What good does it do you to have a bunch of scriptures in your head, but you can't live them? You can't walk them out every day, or you're not focused on walking them out. Now, again, we're not talking about being perfect here. Am I right or wrong, Jason? We're not talking about being perfect, but we're talking about being engaged.
Effort. That's the word I would use. I would use the word effort. That because you know we are flawed creatures and we will make mistakes. What kind of effort are you putting into it, right? Are you just saying, well, that's just the best I can do and I'm done with it? Or are you saying, okay, I missed, right? How do I learn from that miss? How do I learn from that mistake and grow from it, right? You know, so the word I always like to use, and I use this with everybody I talk to, it's like, it's about effort for me. You know, it's not about the mistake. It's about what happens when you make the mistake, right? Are you just like, well, it is what it is, and I can't do no better? Or do you say, okay, look, I made a mistake. This is what I did wrong. I recognize what I did wrong. This is what I'm going to do next time to be better at. You know, it's effort, right? Because I think that's what we're going to be looking. That's what God, when we talk about effort, you really talk about our heart thing, right? Because sometimes it's easy to do the right thing, and you don't have to put any effort into it, right? But when you start putting effort and you have to demonstrate that effort, you know, I think that's a greater sign of love and how we honor God, when we become intentional and we make an effort to do the things that we've been called to do, we've been asked to do.
And you know what's funny, man? What's funny is I had an opportunity to speak to my church last Sunday, the last two Sundays, as a matter of fact, and we talked about commitment. And I closed out my second sermon, and I talked about Peter and John's commitment. And you reminded me of it when you said, what about the clerk? You know, I speak to the homeless people, and I try to offer them a word, but I wasn't thinking about the clerk, the grocery checker in the grocery store. I can't remember what words you used, but that's exactly what Peter and John did. They were going into the temple to worship. They were focused on getting into the temple to worship. They had a destination, right? They weren't walking aimlessly, and because they were headed on their destination, what happened? God put somebody right in their path that they needed to speak to. And here's the reason why we have to be trained up and why that self-discipline is so important. If Peter and John don't save this man right then, basically introduce him to Christ and tell him he's healed in the name of Christ, right? Not in Peter's name, not in John's name, but in the name of Christ. And this man get up and go shout in and run into the temple, and everybody can see, hey, this is the guy that was sitting outside on the ground. He couldn't walk before. Then he reveals to them who it was who gave him his ability to walk or who healed him. There were so many folk that the scripture says that over 5,000 men, women, and children were saved that day. If Peter and John were focused on Peter and John, that may never have come to pass. And that's why it's important for us to hone our skills. That's why it's important for us to have self-discipline. That's why it's important for us to every day try to get better, practice. You know, I don't believe in perfection. Only Christ was perfect, but practice. You know what? You can go a long way if you practice just a little bit. Am I right? You can go a
yes,
long
sir.
Way. And I think that in our pursuit of godliness, we really have to take what Paul is saying as encouragement for us as Christians. And Paul is saying that you need to give up your rights. Give up your rights for the good of the ones who are weak in their faith. Right? Paul said he was willing to give his up. Right? He was no different than anybody else. He said, hey, I give mine up. Right? He wasn't receiving monies from the church. But what he did.
There's something
to be
said when you talk about that sacrifice,
true.
Right?
Uh-huh.
When you talk
uh-huh.
about that sacrifice and giving things up, right? I think for us, you know, it's important that we sometimes got to give up our sense of our comfort, right? Because sometimes, you know, serving that Great Commission out ain't comfortable. It's going to take me to places that I really don't want to be. Have me talking to people that I really don't want to talk to, you know? Have
yeah.
me doing things that I really don't want to do. And if in my head that I truly believe that God's going to always put me in a comfortable position, then I could be missing out on so many opportunities that God had specifically designed for me, right? And, you know, and a lot of
yeah.
people will say, well, I ain't supposed to be there because that disrupts my peace. Well, first of all, your peace shouldn't come through your circumstances. Your peace should come with just because you have a relationship with God. And in that relationship,
right.
if he calls you to go to an area and go to a place that you may not go to because on your own power, well, that's the perfect place you need to be. Because you need to be where God's power and authority is taking you, you know. So I think when you talk about like giving it up for yourself, dying to yourself for things, I think that's so important. Because a lot of times, you know, we truly think that I don't have any peace being here, so I ain't supposed to be here. And don't get me wrong, you know, God, the gift from God is the gift of peace. But sometimes, if you don't have peace, it may not be just because God's telling you not to be there, you know? So Yeah, so I like that part of the scripture when it talks about, you know, giving up yourself to get there.
Yeah, because I mean that's what we have to do, and the thing is our strength comes in our weakness. So a lot of people don't understand. You know, when we finally learn to give things to God, we just give to Him. Man, we are strong. We are eternally stronger. You know, nothing is stronger than us. Why? Because we're not doing it. It's God who's doing it. But we do need to have self-discipline, you know, because I just believe that one of the things that Paul is saying is that we need to be pursuing godliness. So we need to, in order to get there, we have to do good to others, right? And then we can get over the hump. Because just like Peter and John, sometimes we have to serve a need. And that need sometimes, like Jason, like you said, you spoke to the homeless. Sometimes that homeless person needs a warm cup of coffee. You know, and sometimes that person needs a kind word, an emotional or physical need need to be met a lot of times in order to get to the spiritual need. I mean, people, you know, Jason, in a lot of pain, and you want to give them $50. $50 ain't going to help them. Their legs just got cut off. They bleed all over the place, right? What do you need? What the $50 bill is going to do? Can you stuff it off in his gunshot wound and stop the bleeding? You know? And I think as Christians, sometimes we're not fully committed in that way. Let me fix that. We're not disciplined enough. That's what we need to do. You know, we want to jump right in. We're full of vigor and full of life, and we want to introduce everybody to Christ, but we forget they might not hear us because we speak in a different language. They're not ready yet. Oh, man. You ever heard the story about the preacher who God told to go talk to the man?
No, how'd that go?
Basically, the story is this. God speaks to a guy. He says, hey, I need you to go talk to this man that you see every day, but you can't talk to him until I tell you to. So knowing God has told him he needs to speak to this one man, he walks past this man every day for months. And God never spoke to him and told him to go talk to the man. Inside, he really wants to go talk to the man, but God didn't tell him to do it. So he had to walk past this man time and time and time again over the period of months, maybe even years, but it was a very long time. And then finally one day God said, talk to the man. He heard God. He went and talked to the man. And that was the day the man had a tragedy in his life, right? And his heart was open to receive the word of God. But only at that moment was he vulnerable enough to receive God's word. And so that's why it's important. That's why it's important for us to discipline ourselves. Because had he gone to the man before, who knows what would have happened, right? The man may not have received it, right? But he waited for God, and it developed, it worked a patience in him. And that's another big thing about serving Christ. We have to get out of the way, and we have to do it God's way, not our own. So, I want to put that out there tonight, Jason. My prayer is that somebody understands what it was we're trying to say, but I think that I think we got to take this more seriously. I think we got to start training our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to do the work of God. I believe that.
And I would agree. I would agree. We've got, and you said it earlier. What are we competing for? Man, we're competing for something eternal, something precious, the heart and the souls of man, you know, the most precious thing that God created, the thing nearest and dearest to his heart. That's what we're competing for. And if we love the God that we say we love, and we know how much he loves each individual person, that's what should be driving us. right? That's what should be motivating us. Just like that athlete every morning when they get up to do their training, they're thinking about that bigger prize. They're thinking about that bigger thing. We should be the same way. You know, what's that bigger prize? And every morning when we're getting up at 5 a.m. to do our training, you know, whether it's being praying, reading the scripture, listening to a devotional, you know, getting a message, whatever that is, just realize, you know, what our motivation is. And it's because we get to serve a God who's greater than all things, and we get to participate in the things he has for us.
Yeah, man. I it's funny because I just love how God does things. I really do. But I tell you what, man, I truly know I'm weak. I truly know I'm weak because there are some things that are going on right now. I just get so frustrated. And I just want to do something silly. Or I want to say something silly. But each and every time I realize if I do what I'm thinking, I'm not just going to harm me. I'm going to cause some obstacles to be placed in the path of other people because of my foolishness, because of my ignorance. And that's what I'm talking about, that self-discipline. We got to refrain from it. We just got to know the time. We just got to know the time to exercise our options. And I'm praying that God continues to deal with me in my situation so that I don't make it hard for anybody else. I don't make it hard because, man, Jason, you know like I know, to follow God, man, it's to make some sacrifices, ain't it?
Right. He does.
It requires some self-sacrifice, don't it?
Right.
You know, but at the end, you see, we're going to get an eternal crown. Our victory will not be something that fades away. It's just like Jesus. Think about it. Satan, if he had known what he knows now, he would have never, ever tried to harm Christ. Never. But since he didn't, he got to contend with the rest of us, millions of us, right? And so that, you know, that's kind of all I really wanted to say tonight because I really, it just stuck with me. That's all. It was something that really stuck with me. And my prayer is that those of us who sometimes are weak in our faith, that we seek out, first off, we seek out, let's seek him out. And then if he, you know, it's keep our hearts and our minds and our ears open because he may direct someone there who can help us, who can just be there with us, right? Sometimes show you, sometimes not, but he can be or she can be there with you. You can have a support group, right? And maybe through the support of someone else, you'll learn to serve better. I'll learn to serve better. So that's my big prayer tonight. That's my big takeaway, you know, self-discipline. Discipline our minds and our bodies. And I'm telling you, it's just going to make our mission for Christ that much better, that much better. And that's where I'm going to leave it at tonight, Jason. You want to add anything else?
No, just keep training. And just always remember what we say. We don't rise to the occasion. We fall to our level of training.
Man, you know, man, I always say I'm going to write that down, but I'm writing that down tonight, okay? I'm writing that down because that's actually very good for me. I just love a good, I guess the word I'm going to use is cliche, but I love it. I love it. I love it very much. So now with that being said, now Jason, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. I just, man, I'm just very pleased. You know, it's funny when we talk about the weather because here in Kentucky, man, we were thinking it was going to get a lot worse than what it did. I mean, it was pretty ugly. Like, it snowed this morning. I mean, it snowed for a few hours. You know, all the streets were, like on my street, it was all white. You couldn't get down. But it's funny. They came by, I don't know what time it was, and plowed the street. I'm guessing it was between 12 and 1. And here it is, almost 7:30, and they plowing the streets again. So I'm all good. You talk about sacrifices. Talk about self-discipline. They are driving around and they're trying to get the streets clear. So with that said, Jason, I just want everybody to know, you know, as we say all the time about this time, we'll be back next week. But find something you love, embrace it, chase it. That is your relentless pursuit. This is Mr. Cedric, and I just want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend and a good night. Stay warm, stay sweet, and stay prayed up. God bless you, and we out of here. Thank you. Sister Kimmy.
Hold on.